When the neighbor heard their house explode, she said, "He's done it." So many people knew what her dad was capable of, but no one knew what to do about it. This is the story of Judith Barcy, the little Hollywood actress whose life was cut short by a father who feared losing her. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I was chatting with a friend the other day about movies from our childhood, and she told me that she recently rewatched The Land Before Time, the dinosaur adventure movie that came out in 1988. And she shocked me when she said that it doesn't really hold up. Like, apparently it's really short and it doesn't really have a tidy message like other kids' movies usually do. But I shocked her when I told her that the little girl who did the voice of Ducky died when she was only 10 years old. I'm going to pray that I'm saying this correctly since I'm about to pronounce it this way for the next 12 minutes or so, but Yusuf Barcy moved from Hungary to the United States to escape Soviet occupation and find work as a plumber. He found that and more when he met his future wife, Maria Virovach, who was working as a waitress in an LA restaurant. They married and had a little girl, Judith Ava, born on June 6, 1978. The story goes that Maria wanted her daughter to get into showbiz, so she taught her how to speak, how to stand, how to walk. And then one day in 1983, their little Judith was ice skating in the San Fernando Valley when she was spotted by someone in the business. She was already 5.5 years old at that point, but only looked about 3, which, as you can imagine, is quite the gift in Hollywood. You look tiny, but you can also follow directions like an older kid. She was cast in a commercial for Donald Duck Orange Juice and would go on to do more than 100 commercials by the end of her very short life.
Ever since Mom and Dad found out that Donald Duck is 100% pure orange juice, they've been acting kind of funny. I mean, I know it tastes good, but really?
Honest, a giant green gorilla drank it all up.
Oh, please. We don't know what to do with them anymore.
Her TV career was also massive, and her IMDb credits include a ton of shows that were a little before my time, but were so famous that I'm well aware of them. Growing Pains, Twilight Zone, Knott's Landing, Remington Steele, Cagney and Lacey, even Cheers. And she was adorable in them.
Kids, this is Mr. Sam Malone.
Hi.
Hi. Well, this is very nice, Ken, but I do need to talk to you. Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Here you go.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Come on, children.
We want to stay with Uncle Sam.
But it's really her movies that we remember Judith for. Jaws: The Revenge was her big break in 1987, but she's famous to me for her voice acting in The Land Before Time in 1988.
Mine is Ducky. Yep, that is what it is. Yep.
And All Dogs Go to Heaven in 1989.
Charlie, would you please tuck me in? Please?
Yeah.
Charlie, may I please have a good night kiss?
Maria wanted Judith to be a star, but she also made sure that Judith remembered her roots. Maria would make her Hungarian dishes to pack in her lunch, which she took to her regular elementary school full of regular kids. But Judith's potential was clear, and even as a little kid, she was really the breadwinner of the family. They needed her. It sounds like her dad preferred drinking to working, and he didn't allow her mom to have a job. But thanks to Judith's career, they went from being on welfare to owning their own house in a nice neighborhood. By the time Judith was a fourth grader, estimates are that she was making $100,000 a year. But I suppose there's always a price to pay when it comes to fame, and in Judith's case, it was safety. Despite the family relying on her to keep them afloat, it seems like her dad resented her career. Reports call him increasingly abusive, a recluse who would make chilling, terrifying threats against his wife and daughter. One time, as she was leaving to go film a movie, he put a knife to Judith's neck and said, "If you decide not to come back, I will cut your throat." He also openly toyed with the idea of ending things for himself and Judith and leaving her mom behind to suffer. In press photos for her projects, she was the smiling youngest sibling in a perfect family. But at home, she was pulling out her eyelashes and her five cats' whiskers out of stress and anxiety. She told friends she was afraid to be at home because her dad would be drunk, and she knew he wanted to kill her mom. Judith's mom, Maria, also told people that she was worried about Yusuf's descent into misery, although she kept it to just close friends and family at first. She finally filed a police report in 1986, but her complaints went nowhere when the police couldn't find any physical injuries. So in May 1988, she reported the horrifying behavior to the Department of Children's Services. They did investigate, but Maria chose not to prosecute and the case was dropped. Some say authorities should have noticed the obvious signs of emotional abuse and Judith's stress-induced hair plucking. A watchdog group said the child should have been the client, not the mother. But Judith was too little to stand up for herself, and at the end of the day, I suppose Maria just wasn't ready to separate from Yusuf to take the next step. A neighbor told her she could move into their house, but she declined. Apparently, Maria had gone as far as getting her own apartment in Panorama City, half an hour away from the family's house in West Hills, but she hadn't brought herself to take Judith and actually move in. I imagine she would have done things differently if she'd known what Yusuf was capable of. On July 27, 1988, the Barcy's next-door neighbor was outside watering her plants when she heard a loud explosion, windows breaking, and then saw smoke. She went to call 911, thinking to herself, he's done it, like she knew. 55-year-old Yusuf had shot his 48-year-old wife and 10-year-old daughter each once in the head, soaked them with gasoline, lit the house on fire, and then gone to the garage to take his own life. It's likely he killed his wife and daughter in the previous days and lived with the bodies for a while before trying to destroy the evidence and his shame. Maria was found in a hallway while Judith was in her bedroom in her canopy bed. I always wanted a canopy bed. News articles say that she was near the pink TV set her dad bought for her once as an apology for pulling her hair in a fit of rage. I imagine it was a huge letdown to Maria that calling social services didn't fix things, that they had such a hard time dealing with what had been mostly emotional abuse. I mean, obviously things had also been physical with Judith's dad if he was buying her a TV for yanking her hair, but it sounds to me like the bigger issue were the many threats to her life. An LA police detective said that maybe killing her was one last act of possessiveness. If he couldn't have her, control her, no one could. According to friends, Yusuf said he grew up without parents, which had a major stigma attached to it in Hungary in those days. So he came to the U.S. hoping to change his image and have this perfect family, but he couldn't keep his marriage together. Neighbors say that Judith was barely allowed to come to their houses because he worried she'd run away. He also had this idea that people were making fun of his accent. The American dream wasn't so dreamy for him, at least in his mind. It obviously would have been a lot better for him had he been able to keep his temper under control. But he actually liked to tell people that he'd been in prison for killing a guy in a New York fight, even though there's no record of that. I think he was just a sad guy whose only arrests were for his drunk driving, who liked to complain to neighbors that his wife didn't do much cooking or cleaning. A children's services official said that Maria told them she had a plan to leave Yusuf, and they were allowing her to do that on her own time. But Judith's agent said that authorities weren't doing anything to help. This agent insisted that Maria take Judith to go see a child psychologist who said the little girl had extreme verbal, mental, and emotional problems. It's hard to imagine if Judith's career would have been able to go anywhere had she not been killed. And you also have to wonder if Yusuf was planning this in advance or he just snapped. He told Judith's agent on the phone one night around the time of the murders that he was planning to move out of the house but wanted to say goodbye to his little girl first. It's not clear, but authorities believe he might have already killed her at that point. Yusuf had been married once before, and his other daughter, Judith's half-sister, said at her funeral, "I lived with my dad, and he did the same things to me that he did to her. It was going to happen sooner or later." It's so frustrating that no one could do anything to stop it. I suppose, as Judith's agent said, you read about these things, but you don't expect them to happen to people you know. In retrospect, it's kind of creepy that Judith's first TV acting role was in a miniseries called Fatal Vision, where a father kills his wife and daughter. But Judith will always be remembered for her voice acting in those two major 80s animated movies, The Land Before Time and All Dogs Go to Heaven. What's especially sad to me is that both were released after she died. Her character's catchphrase from The Land Before Time is written on her gravestone, along with a reference to the country song Concrete Angel by Martina McBride, which is about child abuse. Apparently, Judith and her mom were buried in unmarked graves in the Hollywood Hills until fans put together money for markers in 2004. After Judith's death, another show business mom wrote an article in the LA Times about her interactions with the little girl and her mother. The woman said that when they'd run into each other at auditions, Maria would tell her things that seemed like such a cry for help. Like, Maria found that Yusuf got a telegram from Hungary saying a family member died, but he didn't tell Maria because he worried she wanted to go there and leave him. Or Maria would say she wanted to take Judith to Hungary to meet her family there, but worried her husband would burn down the house while she was gone. These were things she was willing to tell a near stranger, which makes me think she must have been desperate for help or advice. It seems like so many people knew what was going on at the Barcy home, but clearly no one knew what to do about it. I do hope, as the article says, that a lesson was learned. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.